B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Again, let me just follow up on this, because I did love that Marchand comment. My wife is very strong. She can handle it. She understands the position we're in and the sacrifices we all make. We have a short window to do this, to try and accomplish a lifelong dream of winning the cup. She knows what that means to me, my family, and her. She's willing to sacrifice to take...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Again, let me just follow up on this, because I did love that Marchand comment. My wife is very strong. She can handle it. She understands the position we're in and the sacrifices we all make. We have a short window to do this, to try and accomplish a lifelong dream of winning the cup. She knows what that means to me, my family, and her. She's willing to sacrifice to take care of everything at home. She knows, like I do, that if we win, it's going to be worth it. And I'll tell you what, even if you don't, it's worth it. Even if you don't, making sacrifices, doing the hard thing is still worth it. The process is worth it. So I think it's worth it. And I'm glad Marchand feels that way. Separation could last longer, Fluto writes. So I don't know if you know the protocols. So they're going to start to allow families into the bubble coming up. But there's some pretty serious protocols. If the Bruins advance as far as the conference finals in Edmonton, so if they win this round, the conference finals and Stanley Cup finals are in Edmonton. Everyone ships off to Edmonton. Once they're in Edmonton, families are allowed back into the bubble, but with some pretty good caveats. And Marchand said, quote, "It sounds like to me, based on information we've gotten recently, they're making it very difficult for families to come," Marchand said. "I can't imagine too many families coming." So here's the deal. As part of the return to play agreement, the NHL and the NHLPA collectively bargained that family members must self-isolate 7 days before traveling to Edmonton. They will then be required to take, they will require 3 negative COVID tests during that time. So you have to stay at home for 7 days, take 3 COVID tests. They all have to come back negative. Then you travel to Edmonton. Upon arrival, they must quarantine in a room separate from the player they're visiting for 4 days and return 4 negative tests. They can then stay in the same room as the player, and they must undergo daily testing. So when I first read that, I'm like, ugh, right, who's going to do that?
You and got is that with kids? The Q-tip up the nose, too, with all those?
I guess so.
Probably.
I guess so. Like, who's going to do that? And then I thought about it, and I said to myself, well, if it's really important to you, then go do it. It's actually not that bad. I mean, the quarantining at home for 7 days and testing every other day, I'm sure they'll provide you the tests. You can mail order the tests. I just got mail ordered a test, and I sent it off the other day. And I've been quarantining for 14 days, keeping my distance because I did some travel this summer. I've pretty much been isolating for 2 weeks. And so that's not that much of an ask. So you self-isolate. You stay at home for a week. You take 3 tests. Okay? Then you get on the plane. Now you got to quarantine in a room for 4 days, testing every day. Kind of a tough ask if you got little kids. I don't know. Can you leave the little kids at home? Just bring the wife? Or if they're old enough, can you handle it? I'm sure they're nice big hotel rooms. I don't know. I mean, that's sort of a sacrifice. But I don't know. What else are you doing? I mean, so if it's really important, do you do it?
Oh, yeah. Well, look, and that's the thing is when you look at it in those terms, what else are you going to do? You can't go anywhere and do anything else.
I mean, exactly. It's not like you're going clubbing.
Right.
So, I mean, and then they have to stay in the same room as the player. That's the part that I would fight if I were the players. I'd be like, can we get them their own room? Like, that to me, especially you got little kids, like, that's undoable. Like, the hockey player routine is you have a morning skate and you come back and take a nap during the day. You can't do that with the freaking 2-year-old boy sticking his wet willy in your freaking finger and jumping on you. Like, you can't do that. So if I were the players, and I guess a lot of this stuff is still negotiable, they're still sort of hammering out some of the details, I'd say, can I put the family in a different room? Like, they're still test and they'll still isolate and all those things, but do we all – but I don't know, if it's really that important to you, then do it. Do it. It's not that, it's that big of a sacrifice. It's inconvenient. Is what have we reached a place as a country where inconvenience has now been, you know, portrayed as hardship?
Oh, we were there a long time ago,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah, I mean, that started happening in March.
No, it happened way before that.
Most people, of this stuff,
people hate to be inconvenienced.
Most of this stuff is just inconvenient. It's not hardship. There's some real hardship out there. I'm not telling you there's not. But the thing about self-isolating for 7 days, taking a bunch of COVID tests, and staying in a hotel room for 4 days, I'm not. That's not a hardship. It's inconvenient, and you may not want to do it. But, like, you know, if it's that important to you, do it. Bring them in and have them spend a couple days in the hotel room and take some tests. But I just find this whole thing interesting, you know, and as we go forward, this isn't Orlando. There's no golf. I don't think there's fishing. I don't think these guys have the same things the basketball players do. So it's going to be hard. But I think the Bruins are in. And there was one more indication of it. And I promise the sermon's going to end here in a second. But I wanted to play the video that they played last night on NBC Sports Boston. It's the handshake line. And then the Bruins exiting the ice. And if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you'll see it. I'll describe it to you as we go. First, it's the handshake line with, okay, well, this is, they're just showing him exiting the ice. And what it is Chara and Bergeron, the two captains, embracing every player coming off the ice, which I'm sure they do after most games, or certainly after playoff games or playoff victories. I bet they do this all the time. I'm not there to see it. And they wait till everyone's off the ice. They hug every player. They fist bump Cassidy, and then Chara and Bergeron give each other a hug before they come off the ice. And it was, I don't know, that sort of moment just hit me there, right, Maz? Because, and then they talk to Cassidy before they go in the room about, I don't know, what to say or what to do. And I just saw that, and I'm like, to me, that was just a genuine moment, because they're not playing for the cameras. They're not playing for the crowd. There is no crowd. I don't think they're playing for the cameras, because this is about 10 minutes after the game. This is after the handshake line. This is after, you know, all the officials are off the ice. The Hurricanes are off the ice. Everyone's out of there. They're not even broadcasting. And I don't know, the joy they had, the emotion they had, they're coming off the ice. That sort of struck me. You know, they're now stuck at Hotel X for another couple weeks, and then they're going to be stuck in Edmonton if they get beyond this one for another month away from their families. And that's how they looked coming off the ice. And I thought that said something to me.
Well, look, the one at the end in particular between Chara and Bergeron was about as sincere as you're going to get. There's nothing overly dramatic about it. And honestly, there was nothing overly emotional about it either. It's not like, you know, they had just won game 7 and they're squeezing each other super hard. No. It was another, hey, okay, there's one down. Now we get 3 more to go. Right. And it was, and also, could you find 2 more like-minded individuals that are distinguished and respectable and professional players as Bergeron and Chara? I mean, if there were ever 2 guys who approached it the same way, and you know, on the same team, and were at the peak of their profession, find me 2 just like that. Like, you know, I will say that I've said this before to you, and it's worth repeating now. No championship requires more sacrifice. To win that cup is you have to be willing to literally puncture lungs, break bones. You have to be willing to do it all. There is no championship that requires greater sacrifice than that one.
And that whole thing last night is what I was alluding to. It just, I don't know, in watching that, the first thing I thought of was how was the Ray Lewis thing in 2012 with the Ravens without all the bombastic nonsense, because you started to see all that, like the team rally around Ray. And the way that Chara was talking to those guys in the lineup as they're going off the ice there, it just, I don't know, reminded me of that same thing. And I just figure with his age, the beating he's taken, he's certainly slowing down. And I love him, but I don't know. I just thought it, and watching that, I was like, oh, this might be it. And that's good. Like, Maz, you said, like, maybe that's a good thing in that they really got something else to play for here, and it certainly worked for that Ravens team. It wasn't all that good in that regular season that year, but, you know, they caught fire and win it for Ray, and maybe they are now motivated if they now know internally this could be it for Chara.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm saying about Chara is this. He's 43. He's 43. It's not like he's even 39. He's 40 freaking 3, and I've said this to you too, Mike. I think what he's doing at his age is harder than what Brady's doing. I know Brady, you know, Brady, and I'm not saying he's the same player as Brady. Brady is the greatest of all time at what he does, the greatest player in the history of his sport. But Chara's got to play 80 games a year and then 25 potentially in the playoffs, get the crap kicked out of him. I just think physically it's way more demanding. And so sooner or later, he's going to wake up and say, you know what, I'm done. I'm done. And I have nothing to be ashamed of. I gave everything I had. I played with a broken jaw in the finals. I won a cup. I did all of that. I'm done. And if that exists this postseason, if there were guys on that team that know that he's walking, oh, that can't do anything but help them, I think.
So, as fans, you can understand it or not, but Char is going to be one of the reasons. If they win the cup, he'll be one of the reasons why. Not one of the reasons why not. And, yep, he's slow, and he's old. And Charlie McAvoy's lugging him around out there, feels like, at least a third of the time, half of the time. But Char is getting better, just, you know, purely X's and O's. He's getting better as the games go on. He saved you a goal last night, pulled one off the goal line, thanks in part to his reach. If they're preserving a lead, I want him out there. But all that is secondary to what I saw coming off the ice. And that's, you know, maybe it is his last kick. And maybe they are winning it for him. And maybe they're winning in spite of Rask and for Chara. That, to me, would make sense. To me, that would make sense. To me, that's a good reason. Chara's worth winning for. And overcoming that adversity of your number one goalie bailing is worth doing. And that's what I think the Bruins showed in that first-round series. Well, I don't think they were all that great. I don't think they were all that great. But they won without their number one goalie and their number one scorer. And I don't know how many teams could do that and do it in five games. And most of all, they showed me they give a crap and they're committed. So that's half the battle. All right, I promise you're all lined up. Back to your phones. Oh, by the way, that video of them coming off the ice, first the handshake line and then coming off the ice, had the NBC crew gushing, by the way. I think Keith Jones took his pants off when he saw Char. Char spent an extra amount of time there with Rod Brind'Amour, sort of embracing Brind'Amour in the handshake line. And then they played the video we just showed you of them coming off the ice. And I think Keith Jones actually took off his trousers. You'll hear that coming back, and I promise, right to your phones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
David Pastrnak back in the lineup for the Boston Bruins is bad news for everybody else in the league still playing right now, Jonesy, but also bad news is the way this Bruins team looks to be responding with one another, their chemistry, their juju, if you will. Like, what are you noticing from them?
They're a scary good hockey team, and they like one another, and they're also extremely respectful to the opposition. You watch the handshake at the end of this series against Carolina. There's Rod Brind'Amour, the head coach, and you watch Zdeno Chara have this conversation with Rod Brind'Amour. Absolute respect from the captain of the Boston Bruins against an opponent that gave them a difficult challenge. And this is what I love. These guys absolutely love each other, led by Bergeron and led by Chara. You can't help but cheer for these guys. It's a great team atmosphere there in Boston with great leadership.
And speaking of leadership, like, you know exactly who the leaders on this team. They're usually the first guys on the ice and the last guys off the ice. And there's a message being sent to the young guys when Patrice Bergeron's sitting there, Zdeno Chara giving the fist bumps to Coach Cassidy. They're all in, and they want to be there, and it's clearly evident in their body language watching them congratulate their teammates after that tough series.
Can Jaro Halak lead them to a championship?
Looked good today, didn't he? Made
he
some
did.
Great saves, some timely saves, too, when Carolina was up 1-0.
About 40 minutes of Bruins porn for you. We'll go to the phones now and throw some cold water on you just to balance it out. Steven in Phoenix, go ahead. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to go ahead and ask you guys, especially since off of their Marchand's quote on there's a limited time frame, now that Rask, I really respect whoever said that he quit at the beginning of the show. Now that he's kind of quit on the team a little bit, is it realistic to go ahead and say that we should be looking past Rask here in the near future?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I still believe Rask has a championship in him because I'm done writing off athletes saying they'll never win because every guy that I say will never win ultimately eventually wins. So I thought Rask was going to be that guy this year. You know, if you've been listening, I've been saying if you get Rask to game 7 this year, he's going to win it for you. I've been saying that all season long. Every dog has his day, but he didn't even want to post. He didn't even want to give it a shot, which, again, maybe that makes him a balanced person and good for him. that he's not going to obsess over something as trivial as a name on a trophy. Okay, so like maybe that makes him a good individual. But, you know, as Bruins fans, I think we all wish that he was that guy. We wish he had Marchand's approach, which is we all have a short window to do this, to try and accomplish a lifelong dream. So you do everything you can and you sacrifice to pound that short window. And Rask wasn't willing to do it. That's too bad. Ryan in Providence, go ahead. You're up next.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. Mike, I totally agree about Chara. No guy I'd rather have on at the end of the game. But my thing is, with the playing Tampa, they're a much more physical team, and each series is going to get much, much more physical. Do you think they start to insert Nick Ritchie back in the lineup? Honestly, I did not like him one bit in the previous series. But I think each series moving forward is going to get much more physical. And right now, I just don't feel like they have the guys to stand up for that physicality. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Maz, I know you have a thought on this.
Well, look, I think there's a chance, and I think this is it's an option they didn't have last year. That's all I'll say. Now, look, based on the way the lineup change affected this series, I would imagine, and I mean that as both Richie and Lozon came out too. Let's not forget him and Clifton played well. That I think the Bruins will probably open with the same group in the next series. If I were them, that's how I would start. But if they find they're getting pushed around in front of the net and they need a little more mass, whether it be in Lozon or Richie or both, then I think that's why those guys are there now. I think that's, again, it's just it gives them a little bit of a dimension that they didn't have. So if you're asking me, would I rather have Richie out there or the forwards they have out there now? I'd rather have the group they have now. This but is what if these guys get pushed around?
Well, I was going to say this is a problem with Tampa. Not just are they skilled, but they've toughened up. And they have some size.
And they're big, right? They're good-sized.
So that's a problem, and it wouldn't surprise me. And again, they should start the way they've started. But Bjork or Richie, you know, if it's that sort of thing, or, you know, Par Lindholm or Richie, you might see that big stiff back in the lineup is what I'm saying, Nick Richie. You have a thought, Murray? I thought I heard you there. Never mind. Bob in Salisbury, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
I was wondering, what are the odds, do you think, if something happens to Halak, that somehow Tuukka Rask manages to come back, they win the cup, and he now becomes the big hero? You think there's any possibility of that even remotely happening?
Yeah, 2%. 2%. That'd be quite the story, right?
Well, he ain't coming back.
No, and I'll tell you, Billy Jaffe was on with the morning show this morning, and I thought Billy made a good point. Remember that it's not like he's playing now. He'll then have to be quarantined. He'll then have to get back on the ice.
Like, well, he's not playing hockey.
Right.
He might be playing other things.
Well, right. So, but the point being is it's not just as simple as saying Tuukka's coming back and here you go, you pop him in the lineup. Like, there is a whole process there that probably has to take place, and then who knows how sharp he's going to be. So what are we talking, how much time are you talking about it's going to take him to get ready if you factor in a two-week quarantine?
Do you want him? So if you factor in the two-week quarantine and he's eligible to come back, that means you're still alive, which means now, in front of Halak, you've gone to either the conference finals or the Stanley Cup finals.
Correct.
You know what I would say to Tuukka? Stay home.
Right. So that's the thing is I'd be shocked at this stage if we see him again this year.
Stay home and take the 1150. Here's Dave in Plymouth. Go ahead, Dave.
So, Mike, have you seen Colorado play during these playoffs?
I have not sunken my teeth into them, no.
Well, I think they're right there with Tampa. They have tremendous speed. I think the two best players right now in the playoffs are MacKinnon and Point. Both those guys are playing at a different level. And I just think if the Bruins somehow manage to get to the finals, they're going to see either Vegas or Colorado. Those two teams are absolutely wagons right now. They are just unreal in terms of their speed and physicality. I think the Bruins are going to have a real tough time matching up with either one of those.
Dave,
really.
Dave, if we get to a point where we are worried about the matchup in the Stanley Cup final, I would consider that a good problem. And then let's worry about it there. I think Tampa's the class of the league also because of their, you know, Tampa's story and the experience of their guys, and it's got to be their turn eventually, right? I don't know if Colorado's a little early. You know, tell me about their D. I know, how do you pronounce the kid from UMass's name? Cal Maker? Great young player, but he's a rookie, right? Like, I think he's their number one D. I don't know if they're quite ready age-wise, but, I mean, let's worry about the final when we get to the final, shall we? This Tampa team's legit, and it's going to be hard enough as it is.
Well, the other thing is, we all know, it changes round to round. Like, you know, where would you put the Pastrnak, Marchand, and Bergeron going into the finals last year? You know, and then all of a sudden you go, well, you get the wrong matchup. You get slapped around a little bit, and they don't look as great. So I'm not telling you that I'm dumping on Colorado's talent. I'm just telling you, look, can we wait and see what it looks like if they get that far?
To me, Tampa's going to be a beast. I'm not worried about anything else. Ted in Medford. Hi, Ted.
Hey, how you doing? Just a couple things. First, Hedman is hurt, and if they don't have Stamkos, they can't win the whole thing. And I was just wondering, do you think Rask has played his last game as a Bruin?
I do, probably, but I wouldn't, you know, to me it's close. I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to trade him. I don't know who out there would give you a premium return for a guy in his 30s who has one of the highest contracts in the league. And if you really love him anyway, you can just wait a year and get him for nothing.
So do you think he's going to retire?
I have no freaking clue. I'm worried about Tampa. Like, everyone wants to jump ahead to what are you going to do with Torrey Krug's contract and what are you going to do with Rask? Like, I can't even wrap my head around it. But if I had to guess, that this is probably it. I'm in the same breath, I'm saying you won't get a premium return for him. What I would do is expose him in the expansion draft, and that's a good expansion goalie. You know, the Kraken start next year, right?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Okay, so, and I think they have a cap floor, so they have to take on some salary. And so you do it with a goalie, and, you know, I don't know. Like, to me, the value in moving on from Rask is his cap space. And then you can fill out your roster. I don't think you're going to get a return for him.
Well, and Vegas did it with Andre Fleury, right?
Exactly, right? He's the Marc-Andre Fleury in this, you know, Pittsburgh didn't. Did they trade him or did they? I don't even know.
No, he was in the expansion draft. They just let him get picked.
Okay, all right. Like, can we do? We'll have all offseason to do this. In the middle of the playoffs, you got the Lightning next round. Why don't you worry about that?
Well, you entertained the question.
I know I shouldn't have. My fault. My bad. More of your thoughts after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Romeo Langford walking across the timeline. On paper, this appeared to be the most difficult matchup because the dominance of Joel Embiid. And offensively, Joel Embiid has been dominant in the first two games. But the Celtics have had multiple answers in game one. They had multiple answers in game two. And tonight, they leave no doubt. The Celtics take a 2-0 lead. And the Sixers leave the floor with many more questions than answers. The final score, Boston 128, Philadelphia 101.
Here's a Celtics minute for you. Final call there from Randy and Max last night at 98.5. The Sports Hub on paper, the most difficult matchup. Ha! It blows me away. Like, all you hoop experts, do you ever watch the Sixers? Like, do you ever watch them? And not that I watch them a ton, but almost every time I watch them, including the games against the Celtics, including the ones that they won this year, I walk away and say, that team is trash. That team is trash. And Maz, it has nothing to do with Simmons' injury. It has nothing to do with their talent level, which is either great or overrated or underrated, whatever you want to say. There is something rotten on that Sixers team, and there has been for years. The team is garbage.
Well, so look, there's two things. One, their star player's got a bad attitude, okay? And that's Embiid.
And he's not in shape.
Yeah, and I mean, which to me, like all of it, throw it in one big pile, right? How good a shape can you be in if you have a bad attitude? Like, he's just got a bad attitude. He's lazy, and the coach sucks, okay? But, Mike, Simmons would make a difference. I'm not saying they would win, but the last night's game was a joke. I mean, that was a joke.
So that
Seriously.
Speaks to something more than Ben Simmons being out of the lineup, Maz. This is what I'm telling you.
Okay, but again, I think part of Embiid's malaise is because Simmons isn't there, and he says, I can't carry these bums.
Yeah, because Simmons is an excellent defender. And look, the games I did watch prior to the shutdown, they were engaged against this team. So that's why I get it. They're dysfunctional, and they're coached by a moron. But in the four games against the Celtics, which they were 3-1 against, they were bigger than you and at times better than you. And they when they actually try, they're a damn good team. That's why I didn't like the matchup. But with Simmons out and Embiid clearly isn't in shape, these games are, I mean,
it's a joke.
That game after 8 minutes last night was worthless. And we got to do two more of these?
It's a joke. I'll tell you what, I looked at Philly got off to a good start last night. They were up 14. 25-11 from that point.
After they got punched in the face, though, it was over.
From that point to late in the third quarter, they get outscored 76-40. 76-40. It was 2-1. I mean, they get absolutely freaking annihilated over the next two quarters. And Embiid, they said this on the broadcast last night, and, clearly, I think everyone's on the same page with it. He can give you a little burst for about 5 minutes, and then that's it. Because he's too fat. To give you more. He's fat. He's out of shape. A guy that size, he has no motor at all. That's maddening. If I were a Philly fan, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, because if he was in great shape, he could dominate consistently. But because of that, because he's just shown up or he doesn't want to be there, that would frustrate the hell out of me if I was a Sixers fan.
The team's garbage. It's a garbage team. Trash. And they have been for a long time. The two things it puts the lie to, one is, I've said this before, too, one of the biggest frauds in all of pro sports the last couple of years is the process, like this master plan, this thing they were building in Philly. All they did was suck year after year after year and get a bunch of high picks and hit on like one and a half of them is all they, because Simmons is a half. I'm sorry, it's a half. He has no offense or he has no shoot. You can't shoot the basketball. So it's like, I don't even consider that a successful pick. And Embiid, yes, I guess, but he's a dog. So it's like, they pass on Tatum. I go back through who else they've passed on with all these wonderful draft picks. They have no clue. That Philly process, biggest fraud in pro sports. Biggest lie in pro process. My ass. Also, puts the lie to Al Horford. Of what I thought he was, which was, maybe the Chara piece, the consummate professional, adult in the room, captain, sort of team leader by example, that guy. The last two teams he's been on have been complete clown shows. Complete clown shows. This Philly team and your Celtics team last year, and he was in the middle of both of them. So this vision, this thing I have about Al is wrong. It's a fraud, or he might be that, but it has no impact. So this whole thing about Al Horford, this intangible leader, this piece, what a joke. What a joke for you Celtics fans who thought he was that, for guys like me who thought it was that. I think the Philly experience puts the ultimate lie to that thing about Al Horford.
It's a good point. I mean, again, last year and this year, he looks like the kind of guy that doesn't want to deal with all the nonsense. And so his teams deteriorate, and not to mention his play. You think he'd like that decision back? If he could have that one? Boston or Philadelphia?
So, meanwhile, I don't mean it just to bash the Sixers, because you're good. You're really good. And you've got a chance in this thing, I think. I think you definitely have a chance in the East. I've been saying it all year. I believe it now more than ever. Milwaukee is really vulnerable. I think if Milwaukee survives Orlando, they're going to get Miami, I think, in the second round. Miami goes up 2-0 today on Indiana. So I think it goes Milwaukee-Miami, right? And you get Toronto, if that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's not going to get past Miami. You're not going to have to face the Bucks. The Bucks are going to lose to Miami. And you might get Miami in the conference finals, if you get past Toronto, which you should. So you're really good. The door is ajar. Philly's trash. One last thing I want to hit on. The loss of Hayward, Maz. I just don't think it's that great.
I think you're wrong about that.
I just don't think it's that great. Maz, he's been a role player here. He's a role player. His ceiling is higher than that. When he's on the floor, I know the ball goes through him. He's a good facilitator. I get all of that. But given the time he's actually been on the floor, I mean, how many great impactful games has he played for you since he's gotten here?
Not many.
Like a dozen?
Maybe? Yeah, not many.
Maybe a dozen. So for all your success has come with him just being sort of a piece.
Okay, so again, what success are you talking about?
Well, that's fair.
Okay, so all I'm telling you is that I'm not telling you he's played great when he's been here.
I mean, you did go to Game 7 of the finals without him.
Game 7 of the finals.
Yes, his first year that he shattered his ankle, that's when you went to Game 7.
Oh, the conference finals.
Yeah, conference finals.
Okay.
I just pulled the Jaylen Brown there, acting like they beat the
You a
the
member
Cavs.
Of the team now?
conference finals, sorry.
Okay, so again, I don't think they've accomplished all that much. In that year, man, they got lucky with the road, too.
Oh, man.
They got lucky with the road. They got lucky with the road that year. And all they had to play was Lambs along the way, for crying out loud.
Well, that's
it opened
all there
up
is
for
in
them.
The East. That's all there is.
Okay, but then they lost at home to LeBron, and they weren't that close to a championship. Don't delude yourself.
They were close to going to the finals.
All I'm telling you is this with Hayward. Everything you've said about him is true. Any chance they have at winning the championship is predicated on him playing well and hitting something close to his ceiling. It's predicated on that. How'd you feel about their bench last night with Marcus Smart in the starting lineup?
How have I felt about Hayward for the balance of his time here?
I'd still take him over Brad Wanamaker.
I suppose. But
Or Semi Ojeleye.
Is that the trade-off?
Already, I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, that's what struck me about that game last night in the negative sense, is that once you take one of those guys out.
Well, I mean, all of a sudden you're worried about their bench mess.
I've always been worried about their bench. I thought Ainge should have done something to help their bench at the deadline.
I mean, and me too. But all we've done is rip on the Green Teamers for playing up the Bridges, which was just a glorified bench team. They had 12 guys. You know, they had a great bench. But I thought benches don't win.
Okay, there's a happy medium in there, though, Mike. You can't win with three. You can't win. And you know what? 2.5, because Kemba's a half. He's not a three, really.
So, I mean, I agree to win the whole thing. It's all hands on deck, and you probably need Hayward. So, I think there's something to it. But I'm just talking about the net loss from what you were. Okay, the net loss from what you were, Gordon Hayward has been a glorified role player on this team for 3 years anyway. He has not been an essential piece. He has not been a driver of the team. I understand when the ball goes through him, it looks nice. And he's a good point guy in the offense. But you really haven't had him. You really haven't had him as a key piece in this thing the whole run anyway. So what have you really lost?
You've lost a chance to go up a notch with him in the lineup. That's what you've lost.
All right, well, let's pick this up on the other side. You'll hear Ainge on Hayward, and then we'll take your calls. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Up. It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo!
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Gordon injury is devastating to us because, I mean, I'm not sure, the average fan understands how important he is. Just because, Jalen and Jason are really coming into their own. Kemba's had his unbelievable moments this year, and Gordon is a facilitator. He's our most efficient offensive player, but he doesn't have the same kind of usage that the other guys have, and he's very unselfish, and yet he's capable of taking games over at times when we need it, when guys are resting. And he has been a leader of our bench group oftentimes, and it's just crushing for him, and it really hurts our team. And I don't know how long he'll be out. I think we'll know more in the next 4 or 5 days and just see how the swelling responds. But I feel bad for Gordon as well. I know how hard he's worked just to get himself back ready for this opportunity.
So that's Ainge with TNR. I get it. He's had some bad luck. You feel bad for the guy. I don't think he's that important. Call me crazy. Call me crazy. He hasn't been that important to you. He's been a glorified role player for you. Dakota and Braintree, I think, agrees. I think he's the leader of the anti-Gordon Hayward faction. Go ahead, Dakota.
Yeah, and as I do not want to see Gordon Hayward get hurt, I mean, nobody wants to see a player get hurt and get down, okay? But as I mentioned, I think, I don't know if it was you or was it the midday show, I had mentioned that since this guy was going to leave the bubble in the heart maybe of the Eastern Conference Finals, you were going to have other guys step up and play his minutes. And my argument was that the injury happened, But it's a good thing because now the minutes of Grant Williams was able to get off the bench last night and contribute in that game. And defensively, when he's in the game, they can switch everything and Grant Williams can actually defend.
Go ahead, Maz. Go ahead.
Gordon Hayward. And wait a minute, before Maz gets over
No. Maz, counter the Grant Williams thing, please.
Oh, please. The Grant Williams sucks.
Really?
Yes, he does. He beat Philly. Whoop-de-freaking-do. He played against a Purina dog food company last night. Big deal, Grant Williams. Losing Hayward is a significant blow. Mike, congratulations. You've got Dakota on your side. There's a guy I want on my side.
First of all, Maz, let's be clear. Felger's on my side, okay? I've been on this thing well before Felger finally figured it out. And wasn't it the last 2 weeks, Maz? You were spouting off my numbers against how Hayward was so bad against playoff teams.
Your
and
numbers?
Today, you've taken the other side like Hayward's this big loss.
Awesome. He is a big loss. Good job, Dakota. He sucks against good competition, Maz.
He has sucked against good competition. There's still the chance there that he would be able to give you something in one of those games. I never said they were going to win it with Hayward. I said from the beginning, Hayward is the key guy. I think Hayward's the key guy. He's the biggest X factor. If Hayward could all of a sudden start playing like he did that year against Golden State, excuse me.
Were you snacking in the break again, Maz?
I did.
A lot of snacks.
I was snacking. I was eating a couple of beans. So any chance they had was that he had to get back to that level. Where are you going to get it now? Out of Grant, No Neck Williams, and Romeo Langford?
All you've lost is the potential of him. The practical matter of what he's contributed has been spotty at best. Spotty at best.
Yeah, but
you weren't going to win it anyway.
Right.
I'm not sure of that.
They're going to miss his offense when it's on. Like, Grant Williams is good defensively, same with Ojale, but I'd rather have Gordon Hayward out there than either of those two.
Sam in New Hampshire, go on the Sixers. Go.
Don't forget Romeo Langford.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Sam. Go, please.
Hello? Is anybody on?
Oh, my God, Sam, what's your take?
I think Al Horford, if Ben Simmons is there, he's not getting doubled up by Marcus Smart every night. So why don't we lay off the Al Horford smack?
You're missing the...
Because he stinks.
And he doesn't make a difference. He doesn't make a difference. You lost him, and the Celtics are as good as they've been or even better. They're better than they were last year. He goes to the Sixers, they get worse. Like... That's what I'm talking about. You're talking about the high screen and the X's and O's all you want. I'm talking about the intangible, Nate. What I like about Al, or I thought I liked about Al, is that he's the consummate pro that rubs off on his young teammates and can sort of lead by example and be that pro adult calming influence in the room and give you a good, hardworking team. And it turns out the last two teams he's been on have been complete clown shows.
Right. So that consummate professional tag, that's a false narrative, right?
Thank you.
We have two straight years now where this guy either is non-existent in that locker room. And remember, not that I want to side with Kyrie, but he did cite a lack of leadership. So
you know what, Murray? No one listens to him. So maybe he has all those qualities, but the modern NBA player just can't relate to him.
Doesn't take him seriously, or he's just, you know, kind of not there. But he is no leader in any way, shape, or form.
Right. So the net effect of Al Horford is not what all the Horford people around here were telling us. And you'll admit it now because he's not a Celtic.
Of course.
But, oh, my God, trying to get you to admit it when he was a Celtic? Ah, yi, yi. But just look at it, folks. What difference has he made on the last two teams he's been on? Chris in the car. Go, Chris. Christopher?
Hey, guys.
Go.
Yeah, I'm right here. The Hayward loss is huge. I'm agreeing with Maz and Mari on this one. The Williams brothers, they friggin' stink. And you got one who doesn't know his left from his right, and the other one's too busy polishing his pocket protector to actually get anything done. He hit open threes last night, and Celtics Twitter's toting him like it was a good thing we took him over Thybul. The Hayward is just, it's killer.
Okay, Celtics Twitter, I would advise staying off that.
Grant Williams making threes now. Did you see how long it took him to shoot those? Because Philly wouldn't go out and cover him. He didn't even want to take him. I got up, went to the bathroom, took a crap, came back. He still had him release the shot.
So, Maz, the loss with Hayward is in bench scoring.
Yeah,
do they need scoring on the starting unit? Do they need another guy to take shots? Do they need more offense in the starting five?
So, wait a minute. A second ago, you told me the bench didn't matter.
I'm asking you. I'm asking you. Because you have long said the bench doesn't matter.
Mike, No. I never said the bench didn't matter. I said you don't need to go 9 or 10 deep. That's what I said. You got to have generally 7 guys. Okay, you've got to have 7 guys. And yes, he brought stability to the second group and even to the first group at times. Because I do think that Hayward calms them down, particularly in the half court. And there's good court sense there. There's good vision. He makes good decisions. He'll hit an open shot. Now, look, can he do that against the best teams in the league? I don't know.
I mean, we've mostly just ripped the guy. You know, all of a sudden he's like freaking Larry Bird to you.
Okay.
I mean, we've been mostly resoundingly critical of Gordon Hayward on the floor, off the floor, the whole piece, Penelope, the whole thing. He's been a target of ours. He's been a Felger and Maz target. Now he's gone, and it's like he's the key piece. This is not consistent, man.
No, it is consistent. It's totally consistent because, again, I've said all along, it's about his potential. It's about what he can give you if he plays to his ceiling. Who's better, Gordon Hayward or Grant Williams?
Well, Gordon Hayward.
Okay, who's better?
But on paper.
Him or Ogilvy?
Gordon Hayward.
It's not even close, Mike.
But Gordon Hayward hasn't been there. So it's like, what are you losing?
Okay, this year he played 33 and a half minutes a game and scored 17 and a half points or whatever it was. Now, again, I'm not telling you he came against the best competition, but let's not be delusional about who's going to take his minutes. Like the guys who...
It's just not that big of a net loss.
I don't think it is. No, so look, the only way they overcome it is if Tatum and Brown all of a sudden ascend to this next level that...
Well, that's the only way they're going to do it anyway.
Probably. Yeah, maybe. I think it's a significant loss. Significant.
Okay. We can pick this up on the other side with your calls. We have some Patriots quarterback competition news to get to, quarterback platooning to get to. We have some Brady ripping to do, which, you know, is daily feature here. So we'll get to all of that after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Conveys to next year.
Correct.
Right.
Unprotected.
But there's only like a 2.5% chance of that, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope it happens.
But you're saying there's a chance for it.
Okay. So, but look, I mean, you know, every time the Grizzlies effing play, it's like, well, what about the draft pick? When it was never going to be anything, it was never going to amount to anything. The draft pick thing is over. Right now, you've got like 7 or 8 first round picks stashed in Maine or at the end of your bench doing nothing. And all this pick is going to amount to is another one of those guys. So the obsession with those picks to me is just, but now it's over. Now it's over. I never have to hear you again talk about what the Grizzlies are doing or the Kings are doing or the Clippers are doing. That's it, right? I mean, you have to tell me, right? That's it.
I believe that is correct.
And all you're obsessing out there about this stupid thing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.